You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. For 35 years, Congressman Sander Levin has represented the people from parts of Oakland and Macomb counties. The Democratic congressman from Michigan's 9th District is retiring at the end of this year, and his son, Andy, is running for that seat. He is with us now. Andy Levin, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Cindy. It's so great to be here.
Why did you decide to run for Congress?
You know, I've been fighting for economic and social justice for people for 35 years as a union organizer, as a human rights activist, as an environmental activist. But I was and still am very happily running a statewide clean energy market that I created, and it's the most awesome thing. I'm very happy doing it. But when Donald Trump won the Electoral College and was going to become the president, I said, that's it. I've got to get back into the game, very explicitly the game in Washington, and try to do whatever I can to resist what he's doing, but also to turn the country in a more positive direction where we can have more unity and really benefit working people across the board. Because in my view, he really got elected not because he's some outlier reality TV person, but because of decades of social forces in this country of divide and conquer politics and of this trickle-down economics, which has been facilitated by the divide and conquer politics. And I feel like the 9th District of Michigan, the cradle of the middle class, the very place where the term Reagan Democrat was coined 40 years ago, which is sort of the beginning of my adult life, I feel like my whole adult life, I've watched the working people get the short end of the stick. Their standard of living's been going backwards. And that's the result of policy. It's not biology. It's not something in the air. It's things we can change if we put the living standards of working people first.
Well, let me ask you, because the President Trump got a lot of support from working people. A lot of them are union members, traditionally supported Democrats. You mentioned the Reagan Democrats.
Yes.
Why do you think that happened?
I think that we've gone through a period of deindustrialization. We've gone through a period of bad trade policy that both Democrats and Republicans to some extent have supported. And the working person who may have lost their job 5 or 10 years ago, they've never really recovered. They say, look at Lansing, look at Washington. No one's really doing anything for me. Here's this guy from New York City. He made a lot of money for himself. You know, maybe he can make me some money. They've lost faith in the ability of the government to be the government of FDR and Truman and Kennedy and Johnson that the Democrats brought to them back in the day. And we need to get back to that sense of an economy that's all about the prosperity of the working person, a good job, good benefits, and a dignified retirement. And if we can really get that message out so much more strongly to the working people of this state, we're going to change the course of this nation. And I think you see it happening as the primaries roll out around the country.
Andy Levin, you've described yourself in the past as a hellraiser. What do you mean by that?
Oh, gee, well, I mean, in college, I was an anti-apartheid activist, and I helped organize a hunger strike to try to force my college to divest of stock in companies that did business in South Africa. I've been arrested many times for defending working people's rights, and one time with my rabbi and a bunch of other civic leaders in Washington to try to prevent George W. Bush from drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. I started out as a union organizer in 1983, and I organized nursing home workers across this state and in Indiana and Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And, you know, you're helping people, mostly women, a lot of women of color, stand up to their boss when the law doesn't really give them almost any protection. So I've been fighting for justice for working people for many years, and I want to take that attitude to Congress and really change the direction of this country.
Broadly speaking, the country's divided. It's stressing people out on all sides of the political spectrum. What role do you think elected leaders in Washington should be playing in bringing this country closer together?
You know, I think there are really a lot of opportunities to do that on policy, Cindy. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Two things that I've worked on a lot: workforce policy. If you think about it, almost all politicians talk about it, but no one does that much about it. Mm-hmm. I spent 4 years running the workforce system of the state. I'm ready to go to Washington and work with Republicans as well as Democrats to do something that employers would dearly love. Employers meaning typically, you know, stereotypically a constituency of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And that is help train workers for the jobs those employers need to be done. Help pull together the various strands in the U.S. Department of Education, U.S. Department of Labor, Veterans Affairs, Health and Human Services, because we have all the welfare to work money there under the AFDC, all these different things, the whole unemployment system. There's a lot of resources there. Democrats and Republicans could agree on using them more efficiently and much more effectively to give both workers and employers what they need. That's not a partisan thing at all.
But in this climate, is the appetite there to reach across the aisle?
I'm going to test it. I'm going to go find out, and I'm ready to do it, and I think we'll find people willing to. One other example is, you know, I've devoted the last 6 years of my life to creating this statewide clean energy finance market. Now, you could sit there and say, well, that sounds like a tree hugger thing. You know, that's a Democratic or progressive or whatever. In fact, what I do, we help employers be more competitive, more efficient, lower their operating costs by reducing their energy use. And yes, it reduces our carbon footprint. And yes, it reduces pollution. But this is something that Democrats and Republicans can agree on. We just got our 36th government to join, local government. We cover 69% of all Michiganders in these 36 governments. Cindy, most of them are Republican jurisdictions. I mean, when I came to Washtenaw County, which joined, yes, I talked about, you know, battling climate change. But in a lot of the more conservative places, you just focus on helping businesses be more competitive, helping nonprofits be more resilient. It's something everyone can agree on. But even beyond that, get closer to the supposed controversy. Mother Nature doesn't care about the political boundaries we little human beings draw. Which states use wind power so much? Among them, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, red, red states. Mm-hmm. Among solar states. Yes, of course, there's California and Massachusetts, but North Carolina, Arizona, Florida, states are beginning to change their policies because businesses and the economy generally are moving heavily towards renewables. A majority of Fortune 500 companies have set dates certain by which they're going to be carbon neutral. That's not just advertising. That's their boards making legally enforceable decisions. So there may be some in the Republican Party who want to sort of deny climate change or something or keep their head in the sand about science, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of room to work together with members of Congress from Republican states to help our people get good jobs and help our companies make more money by moving much, much faster to tackle the grave, grave problem of global warming.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with Andy Levin, who is running for Congress, his father's seat in the 9th. And if you're elected and the Democrats take the majority in the House in November, would you support Nancy Pelosi for House Speaker?
You know, I think Nancy Pelosi is an amazing person and a path breaker, a pioneer, a breaker of glass ceilings. I think she's terrific. I have no idea what the situation will be when I get there. So I'm not sort of even really thinking about that. But I'll tell you one thing that does concern me is that it seems like people are so eager to jump on a woman who's been successful more than a man. And so I'm just going to, whether she's the speaker or not in the future, she was a great speaker in the past. She had a great track record. And, you know, I have a huge amount of respect for Nancy Pelosi. A lot of the tumult is really generational. And so we have to see what happens on November 6th. But I'm really eager to go there and work with Nancy Pelosi and the others to try to change the direction of this country. And, you know, when I get there, we'll figure out about, you know, who we're going to elect as leaders.
And then there are a lot of calls from the Democrats to hold investigations that would lead to the impeachment of President Trump. Is there enough evidence out there publicly right now to constitute an impeachable offense, in your view?
You know, I think the behavior of this president is gravely, gravely concerning to me. And on so many levels, the emoluments clause, you know, whether he's enriching himself, the obstruction of justice questions. What I really think, Cindy, is that there's a lot of information that members of Congress have access to that I don't and you don't. And the Mueller investigation is ongoing. So, you know, I want to gather all the evidence and see. But I'll tell you this very clearly. If the people of the 9th District send me to Congress, I will use the full power invested in the U.S. Congress by the Constitution of the United States to make sure nobody is above the law, no matter how big their ego. And, you know, it's not just important about this political moment. It's really upholding our democracy, the most fundamental tenets, which is that we are a people of the Constitution, we follow the rule of law, and it's not about how great one person thinks he may be. So I think we're going to take back the House, and we're going to have oversight over the administration in a way that is going to be fundamentally different than you've seen these last 2 years.
Pivoting back here to the race in the 9th, your Republican opponent, Candace Stearns, has said she would like a debate, but she has yet to get a response from you. Would you agree to a debate with your challenger, with your opponent?
I'm sure we'll have a joint appearance or two. I'm not sure. I didn't even know that had happened, frankly. So you're telling me something new.
That she said she would like to debate.
You know, in the primary, we had many joint appearances and so forth, and I'm all for, you know, having a good back and forth on the issues. So I don't have any hesitation about that.
What makes you different from your Republican opponent? What are voters choosing if they choose you over her?
Well, we disagree fundamentally over almost every issue. I want us to get Medicare for all. I'm a two-time cancer survivor, and two of my two oldest kids have Crohn's disease. So, you know, Mary and I would have gone bankrupt multiple times over if we didn't have health care. And that is not something that should be a lottery or depend on your, you know, financial circumstances. Health care is a fundamental human right. We disagree about that. We disagree about public education. I want an excellent public school education for every kid, not charters run wild, privatization, voucherization, and so forth. So we disagree on many issues, but here's the main distinction. It's leadership. I've run a large part of state government. I have federal government experience. I was the staff attorney for President Clinton's Labor Law Reform Commission. I worked in Secretary Reich's office when he was Secretary of Labor. I have significant private sector experience. And as you said, I have a lot of hell-raising experience. But also the values of the people of the 9th District, I think I'm a much better fit. This is a district of working people who just want a fair shake. And it's time to get back to the brass tacks of people being free to form unions, people having living wages, people having health care. You know, people aren't asking for much, really. They just want to have a chance at the American dream. And there's a couple generations now where people's kids have not been better off than they are, and they don't feel like they're going to be. And I'm about changing that, and we're going to do it when we take back the House in November.
Andy Levin, Democratic candidate for Michigan's 9th Congressional District. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me, Cindy. It was a pleasure.